As I'm learning and cutting my teeth on preaching, it's a little nerve-wracking to follow the Reverend Charles Allen, a preacher and pastor who touched generations while he was here and whose words are still touching new generations today. As a matter of fact, it's a little like Justin Timberlake or the Rolling Stones opening for you. Nonetheless, I'm excited to be finishing up our Then and Now sermon series. And what a cool series this has been. Have you guys enjoyed it? I certainly have. What other church can go back 50 years in its history and incorporate quotes, recordings, video, and pictures into its present-day sermons while incorporating a internationally known preacher, writer, theologian, and speaker such as Dr. Allen? This morning, we're ending our Then and Now sermon series with a question. And who better to ask it than Jesus himself? But who do you say that I am? I wonder if we hear this question as Jesus' mid-gospel exam. We're about halfway through Matthew's account of the gospel, so it makes sense for Jesus to gather the guys together and say, okay, let's see what you learned. Let's see if you understand. Who am I? The disciples had seen Jesus perform miracles, miraculously feed 4,000 and 5,000 people, interact with and call the Sadducees and Pharisees hypocrites, and warn the disciples of the leaven of the religious elite. As after all of this, it makes sense that Jesus and the disciples needed to retreat from the primarily Jewish region of Galilee into the primarily Gentile region of Caesarea Philippi. So as modern retreats go, it makes sense for Jesus to ask the question, what have you learned? Who am I? Most of us know the right answer. We have read Peter's answer. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. However, today's gospel is not about giving the right answer. This is not a test. This is not about what is in our heads. It's about what's in our hearts. It's about what lies at the very core of our existence. I would love to tell you that the core of my existence is Jesus. We all can agree that that is our aim. However, what is the core of my existence is not always Jesus. What centers my life may be business. It may be family. But more often than not, it is my own agenda. And it is my own self-centered pursuits. Seeing this in the disciples, Jesus is asking them to consider what centers their lives. What is the axis about which their world turns? For me, and for most of us, that axis is myself. And that was true for the disciples as well. Peter and the other disciples were men of their time. One owned and operated a flourishing fishing business. One was educated and regarded as a doctor. One was a tax collector and shunned by his community. One was a young man with a big heart. And the others were a ragtag group of people that knew of God, but acted in their own self-interests. This can be said for many of us. If we really take an honest assessment of ourselves, we will see that we act in our own self-interests. So it is not unreasonable to say that we are at the center of our own lives. But what about Jesus? Shouldn't he be at the core and center of our lives? You see, it is not just enough to give the right answer. The answer must be revealed as we become who Jesus knows us to be. That is, the answer is in how we live our lives, how we act, and what we say. These things for Jesus are foundational to a life of discipleship. So what is discipleship? Our mission is to put our faith into action by making disciples for Jesus Christ and the transformation of the world. As a church, are we truly making disciples of Jesus Christ? As a church and as individuals, are we acting and living according to Christ's commission and call? If so, is He at the center of our lives? In order for discipleship to occur, this must be the case. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we all must have some center from which we live. People, things, and experiences tend to become our anchor points and center our lives. They give us bearing and stability, and our center orients who we are and the directions we go. It not only shapes how we live, but more importantly, who we are becoming. Our spouses, children, family, and other relationships can easily become the center of our lives. Sometimes it is our beliefs or opinions that are at the center of our lives. Anger or fear can live at the center of our lives. For some, profound loss and grief become the axis upon which their world turns. For others, love and beauty can be the defining axis of life. So what or who centers us? Whatever it is that centers us is capable of propelling, enlivening, growing, or keeping us stuck and stagnant. I don't know about you, but around this time of year, I start to feel a little stuck and stagnant. The New Year's resolutions have worn off. The celebrations have come and gone. Old habits begin to pop back up. And the pressures of the world begin to mount. And life seems to be transitioning back to a regular routine. As this transition occurs, things start to happen. As they do, we often discover what lives at the center of our world when the experiences and circumstances of life knock us off kilter. Everything is thrown out of whack, and we begin to try to cling to the center. Sometimes that means we have settled for something other than Christ on which to center our lives. Yet Christ is the true center. This time of year also marks the beginning of Lent. This weekend is Mardi Gras. Tuesday is Fat Tuesday, and Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So it is a great time to assess who is at the center of our lives and start making changes. Change does not mean that there will not be difficulties, pain, or loss. It means that when they occur, the center holds, and we all need a center that holds. We see this concept in Jewish rabbinic teaching on the scriptures. It is said that Israel is the center of the world. At the center of Israel is Jerusalem. At the center of Jerusalem is the temple. At the center of the temple is the holy place. At the center of the holy place is the ark, the presence and glory of God. Underneath the ark is the foundation, the rock upon which all rests. The imagery of the rock being the foundation upon which it all rests takes us deeper and deeper to the center of the center of the center. This is exactly what Jesus is doing with his questions in today's gospel. Who do people say that the Son of Man is. But who do you say that I am?" In the first question, Jesus is asking the disciples to hear and see around them. In the second question, he wants to know what they hear and see within themselves. So as we pass through Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, and begin Lent, what do we hear and see within ourselves? As we go through this transition period of our lives, what is at the center? As our church goes through the transition period of changing its worship services and deciding what to do with our campuses, who is at the core? It's not enough to just answer these questions. We have to go deeper. And Jesus is always pushing us to go deeper, to look within and discover who or what our lives are centered upon, and then to recenter. But we are followers of Christ. Isn't He already at our core and our center? Maybe so, but a life of discipleship is about continual recentering. Earlier, I mentioned my own life. Despite accepting Him as my Lord and Savior, Jesus is not always at the center of my life. Yet, I am on the path of discipleship. You see, Jesus wants to be at the center of our lives, but the world can throw us off kilter. Our businesses, careers, and life pursuits can throw us off kilter. Our families can throw us off kilter. Our relationships can throw us off kilter. As such, Jesus wants us to continually focus and recenter on Him. "You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the Living One," Simon Peter answers. This is more than just an answer. With these words, he has recentered his life on Jesus. And Christ is the axis around which Peter will present his body as a holy and living sacrifice acceptable to God. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus renamed Simon. His Greek name is Petros, which in English means rock. Simon is now named Rock, not to be confused with the wrestler or actor. Whenever we recenter our lives on Christ, we become new people. Every time the lines of our lives converge on Christ, we become rock-like. We become the foundation, a rock on which rests the church, the new ark that holds and reveals the presence and glory of God. So Christ is asking us to recenter on Him. In doing so, we become the foundation upon which the church rests. We heard Charles Allen passionately talk about how much he loves the church. We heard Charles Allen talk about when the service actually begins. And since the service actually begins when we leave the sanctuary, then it would hold true that we are the foundation on which the church rests. So how are we living into the fact that Jesus is at our center, and each of us are rocks upon which the body of Christ functions? Is it through the schools and missions that we saw in this morning's video? Is it through the local and global outreach that occurred during last year's natural disasters? Is it through the work that countless people are doing to clothe and feed the homeless and hungry? Is it through the hands that we have extended to those that we believe in to pull them up and give them hope and opportunity? Or is it through the person that we have come alongside, put our arms around, given comfort, and encouragement. Whatever it is, like Peter, we are rocks through which the body of Christ functions. And with all its frailties, Jesus chooses human life and relationships to be the rock on which his church is built. We are not, however, unmovable and unchangeable rocks. As water slowly forms and shapes a rock over time, so does a lifetime of recentering form and shape us to be Christ's foundation in the world. So recentering is our life's work, and it is not easy. It means we must continually let go of what we thought centered our lives and move to the true center, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Living One, Jesus Christ. The opportunity for recentering is therefore hidden in the ups and downs of life. It is something we do over and over, and we don't always get it right. When was the last time you didn't get it right? For me, this is a daily occurrence. Yet throughout the day, I ask God for forgiveness and guidance on how to honor and glorify Him. I ask Him to show me how to be a responsible steward for all that He has given me. And I ask for guidance on how to live my life for His purpose and not my own. And this is true for each of us. It was true for Peter. Look at Peter. He was the man of little faith sinking in the water. He didn't understand the parables. He argued with Jesus and got called Satan. He falls asleep when he's supposed to be praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he denies Jesus three times. Yet through it all, he was being shaped, formed, and molded by living water into the rock Jesus knew him to be. Ultimately, Peter was crucified for recentering upon, focusing on, following, and loving Jesus. Despite what it may look like, Peter clung to the center, and there's really nowhere else to go. Jesus' words, "You are the rock, and on the rock I will build my church," are words of grace and life. They were for Peter, and they are for us. What Jesus says to Peter, He says to us all. Who do you say I am? Don't just answer His question. Let's go and live the answer. So how do we live the answer? How do we continually recenter and focus? Recenter and focus on Jesus when there are so many things that are competing for our time, attention, and resources. How do we discover the rockness that Jesus knows is within each of us? As a church, how do we recenter, leave this sanctuary, and go forward to make disciples of Jesus Christ throughout the world? We must live with hope amidst this crazy world full of despair, disaster, and hopelessness. We need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Yet how many of us consistently do this? We need to care for the poor, feed the hungry, and defend the oppressed. Yet how many of us pass by the homeless man or woman in the morning? How many of us show up to feed and clothe the homeless and hungry during the week? I know I don't. We have to offer forgiveness despite our anger. And this is really hard to do because so many of us are so angry about so many things. Yet how do we offer forgiveness amidst the pressures and stresses of the world? We have to pray when we're too busy to pray. How many of us wake up late in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, jump in the shower amidst rush hour traffic, race off to take our kids to school, or get to the meeting that we're already late for? Yet, we have to find time to retreat, to pray, and to recenter our lives on Jesus. Like Jesus, we have to love our enemies despite our fears. From recent experience, I know that fear is an interesting thing. Fear keeps us from fellowship with one another. Thereby, it keeps us from working together in faith to accomplish what the world regards as impossible. And it keeps us from living our lives in a manner that is worthy of Christ Jesus. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. We have to practice generosity regardless of the economy or stock market performance. And we have to recenter even when it feels like we cannot stand up. I mentioned that the church is in a transition period. While we're in this transition period, we have to be faithful and bold enough to step outside of ourselves, recenter, focus on Christ, and bring the gospel to the world. To do so, we have to put our differences aside. We have to work together and be the hands and feet of Christ. When we do so, we will become the people and foundation that God knows us to be. So let's love and serve one another by being the foundation which Jesus' church stands before the world. Let's focus on Jesus, knowing that He is our center, that He is our core, and that He is the true rock and cornerstone on which everything rests. And given all that Christ has built, let's thank God for the church by showing the world what it means to love, grow, serve, and joyfully follow Jesus Christ. Friends, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the words of life that you gave Peter. Thank you for renaming him Rock, and thank you for using him upon which your church is built. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to save the world and be the rock and the cornerstone upon which everything rests. And thank you for the call to recenter and focus upon Him, knowing that He is enough. In doing so, please help us to live our lives with Him at the core. And please guide us to be the rocks upon which the body of Christ functions and rests. Please use us to be His hands and feet, to go into the world and make disciples, and to show the world what it means to follow Him. As you do so, we love and thank you for this church. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, as we join our hands and pray the words that He taught us to pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.